Good morning. Here's some of the news for Thursday, November 19th, 2015. While much attention is being paid to the attacks by the so-called Islamic State in Paris and Beirut and on the downing of a Russian passenger plane in the Sinai Peninsula last month, another militant group, Boko Haram, with suicide bombers, has been killing civilians in towns packed with refugees. Yesterday, the group used suicide bombers to kill at least 34 and wound 80 in a Nigerian marketplace, and late Wednesday, they killed another 15 and injured 53 more people in a northern Nigerian city. The blasts were the latest by Boko Haram, Nigeria's homegrown extremists, whose six-year insurgency has killed 20,000 and forced 2.3 million to flee their homes. Boko Haram was named Wednesday as the world's most deadly extremist group in the Global Terrorism Index. The group pledged allegiance to IS in March, and it calls itself that group's West Africa province.
Leur très grande majorité, ces réfugiés, s'orientent vers l'Allemagne, l'Europe du Nord.
At a meeting of French mayors, French President François Hollande said he will honor France's commitment to accept refugees from Syria. He said he knows that some of the militants who attacked Paris came in with refugees, but this is not the majority, and he won't let France bend to suspicion, stigma, and separation from acts of terrorism by Daesh, the so-called Islamic State. Meanwhile, here in the U.S., Republican leaders are eager to respond quickly to Friday's terror attacks in Paris. They put forth a bill aimed at increasing screenings for Syrian and Iraqi refugees before they enter the U.S.
People understand the plight of those fleeing the Middle East, but they also want basic assurances for the safety of this country.
House Speaker Paul Ryan of Wisconsin.
If the intelligence and law enforcement community cannot certify that a person presents no threat, then they should not be allowed in. This is common sense, and it's our obligation.
The White House on Wednesday threatened a presidential veto of the Republican legislation, calling the new requirements untenable. It said the legislation, which sets high hurdles for refugee admissions, including FBI background checks and individual sign-offs by top federal officials, would provide no meaningful additional security for the American people. Here in New York, Mayor Bill de Blasio is attacking New Jersey Governor Chris Christie over the fate of Syrian refugees. Christie said the refugees fleeing Syria should not be admitted to the U.S. because they can't be properly vetted. De Blasio says the refugees would be welcome in New York.
This is a nation of immigrants, and we are sitting here in the city that has the Statue of Liberty in it, that is the epitome of welcoming immigrants over generations. And by the way, those immigrants were in many, many cases fleeing violence and persecution. This is not a new reality in human history. And I'm certain some of those immigrants were Governor Christie's forebears. So I find it absolutely hypocritical for anyone to say, let us shut our borders to people who are victims of violence, to innocent people who are fleeing a humanitarian crisis. That is un-American.
De Blasio yesterday announced a $2.6 billion investment to help tackle homelessness in the city. The mayor said the city will use the money to create 15,000 housing units over 15 years. Those supportive housing units would be paired with services to help domestic abuse victims, veterans, and those living on the street. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. Four public schools in Brooklyn are starting ambitious environmental programs with more than $1.7 million in funding from an oil spill settlement. State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman joined schools Chancellor Carmen Farina yesterday to celebrate the Greenpoint Echo Schools project. It's part of a program developed by the National Wildlife Federation. Momentum for 100% renewables is picking up. This follows President Obama's rejection of the Keystone XL pipeline, Governor Cuomo's rejection of the Port Ambrose liquefied natural gas facility on the Long Island Sound, and Mayor de Blasio's call for divesting the city pension funds from coal. The federal government also just sold several leases for offshore wind off of New Jersey. This evening, the People's Climate Movement New York is holding a forum on how to get 100% clean energy by 2030. Mark Dunley has more.
New York City has taken some steps to reduce its carbon footprint, but labor and community activists say more is needed. On Tuesday night, they held a rally under the Climate Works for All banner on Billionaires Row off of Central Park. to push for the city to require large buildings to reduce their carbon footprint. Buildings now account for more than 75% of the city's carbon footprint. Reduction in the footprint was started 6 years ago by Mayor Bloomberg. He began requiring buildings larger than 50,000 square feet to do energy audits. The idea was that building owners would voluntarily do energy retrofits where they could save money. But that didn't happen. So now advocates want the city to mandate the energy retrofits. Advocates also want the city to transition to 100% renewable energy by 2030. This is not just for electricity, but for all energy, including transportation and heating and cooling. As a first step, the city has decided to purchase 100% of its own electricity, about $600 million a year, from new renewable energy sources. Groups want a big share of this to be offshore wind off of Long Island and the Rockaways. With Governor Cuomo last week vetoing the Port Ambrose liquefied natural gas project off Long Island, activists say that area is now available for offshore wind. This is Mark Dunley, WBAI News, New York.
The forum this evening at 6:30 is at the Transport Workers Union. That's 195 Montague Street in Brooklyn. There will be local activists as well as national speakers from Greenpeace and Food and Water Watch on how to transition to 100% renewable energy. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.